You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. What on earth is happening with West Ham, and are they going to sack their manager? What do West Ham fans appreciate about Tomáš Souček? Is it all over at West Ham for Vladimír Coufal? And what does it mean if things go tits up? Hello everyone, are you ready for your weekly dose of football and English? Well, make yourself comfortable, sit back, strap in and enjoy this episode. My name is Zdeněk Lukas, I'm a professional English teacher and my guest today is a passionate football fan and I believe an ex-footballer as well. Welcome to the podcast, Clive.
Thank you very much, thank you. Amateur footballer, let's put that in there.
Well, we have that in common. I'm exactly the same, but it doesn't prevent us from talking about football and the Premier League.
not at all.
Okay, well, you're brave because as a West Ham fan, I think you're going through some sort of crisis these days. Looking at the table, you are in the 14th place, which is not what I think you guys, you fans of West Ham, wanted at the beginning of the season.
Indeed not, no. We were looking to improve on the season we had last season, which wasn't exactly great. The season before, league-wise, wasn't great. Yes, we won the Conference League, but our league performances have been adequate and nothing better. And this season, I think we've been below adequate. A lot, a good distance below, you know.
And yet, somehow, I think people expect West Ham to do way better. It looks like you are punching below your weight in the last few years. Why is that? Yeah. What's going on?
Well, for the last couple of seasons, I think there's been quite a lot of disharmony in the squad because I think it's been well documented that David Moyes, as a manager, was very regimented in the side that he wanted to put out every week. He likes to work with a small squad and therefore a big squad is of no use to him. Whereas with the manager we have now, it's quite the opposite. With Julen Lopetegui, it's quite the opposite. He likes to use a squad of players, and he's been showing that quite often to the detriment of our results. But I think there is a plan of action, and I'm kind of sticking with it, if you like. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not calling for his head yet.
Ah, okay. Well, then you are one of those that trust the process, but
I'm not quite that deep. I believe that there is a process, and I'd like to see it because I have high expectations of Mr. Lopetegui because you know at Sevilla he maintained Europa League wins for three seasons.
Yeah.
You know, he also coached the Spanish under 21 side very successfully.
Wasn't also in charge of the Spanish national team for a short stint,
but he agreed to go to Real Madrid, I believe it was.
There was some kind of wild circumstances where
he'd agreed in principle to go to Real Madrid when his tenure at the national squad had finished.
Yeah, before it finished. And maybe like he was accused of basically not being exactly sort of following the contract.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, very professional.
No, that's right. And And, you know, that has been said, that he wasn't very professional in that instance.
Yeah.
And also it's been said that he wasn't very professional in the way he left Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Right.
But I believe that a man that has principles must stand by them.
Mm-hmm.
And if your employer is blatantly lying to you, then you have to take action. And I believe that that was the case.
At Wolves.
That's all the reports that I've seen and heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm quite happy to believe that that was the case.
Okay.
He is struggling a lot at West Ham.
Yeah.
There is no doubt about that.
You guys are losing left, right, and center. Somehow you managed to beat another team that has been underperforming heavily, Manchester United. So that was a big win, right? But the latest game we have to unfortunately mention here is your defeat to Nottingham Forest. On paper, you wouldn't expect West Ham to lose. No. But to be honest, if you look at the table, and the table doesn't lie. Sorry.
A lot of West Ham fans were saying that they would accept a draw against Nottingham Forest. You know, and that just goes to show you the level that we believe we're at. You know.
Well, Clive, but they are currently in the third place in the table. So
exactly.
I think this is a realistic reflection of where both teams are at the moment, I'm afraid.
Well, of course, yeah. But, I mean, when you look at it from, like, a historical point of view, then Nottingham Forest have always had that team that can get them there or thereabouts.
Yeah, that's West true.
West Ham rarely have had. Rarely.
That's true. I think what confuses everyone is that Nottingham Forest have been out of the Premier League for a long time. So
yes,
that
they confuses have. And people. They struggled to get back. But that was poor management, poor ownership, and obviously, you know, the players weren't of the standard that they could or should have been.
Yeah, I mean, but we should remind everyone, Clive, that Nottingham Forest are Champions League winners twice, right? Whatever it was called before the Champions League, they won it twice. So
they did, 2 years running.
Mm-hmm.
They came up from what is now the Championship, which was the second division back then, into the first division, which is now the Premier League. And within 2 years, they were winning the European trophy, and then the following year they backed it up with another one,
mm-hmm.
and a few domestic titles in between.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, historically, Nottingham Forest have always been a club to be cautious of.
Well, in this game, it seemed like you stood no chance, although obviously there was sort of a moment in the game that made it easier for Nottingham Forest. Yeah. So you had one player sent off. It was Edison Alvarez at the end of the first half. And it was while you were losing 1-0. You were 1-0 down. And then this happened. I think it was a real sucker punch. And I don't think anyone believed from that moment that it would go.
Oh, no. I mean, from the moment Alvarez was red carded, we all knew that chips were down, if you like.
Chips were down,
And that was it, really. I mean, we were fighting an uphill battle the whole second half. And unfortunately, you know, Nottingham Forest had the momentum. They've got some very good players. And they've got a really good coach right now. Really good coach, you know.
So Clive, tell me, what exactly is wrong with West Ham these days? So there might be some injured players, right? That's one thing, but not many. So what's going on? So of course you've got one really good player, Mohamed Kudus, who got sent off in the previous game, I believe, or something like that, and it was for a really bad incident, and I think he got like three match ban or something.
Yeah.
But that's not the only problematic player in your team right now. Then you have got Lucas Paqueta, right? What's going on with him? So
in fairness to Lucas Paqueta, he has these charges levied against him.
The betting scandal.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, the betting scandal. Whether they are true or not is irrelevant at this point.
Okay.
Because at this point, the effect of the investigation and everything that goes along with that is affecting the way he approaches his job.
You think so, yeah?
I believe so. I absolutely 100% believe that.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody can do their job effectively if they're only 30% invested in it.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously concerned about his playing career. He's obviously concerned about any money that he may have to return.
He's in, basically, you know, mentally he's not in the right place. Mentally,
no,
he's
not
just
at all.
In the
not
wrong place.
Mm. You know, and a classic example of that is a few years back when West Ham were playing against Manchester United. Mark Noble, our captain at the time, was on the bench and he was playing out the end of his career. It was towards the end of his career. And we got a penalty in the last moments of the game.
I remember that, yeah.
Mark Noble was hastily brought on by David Moyes without any warm-up, without any pep talks. Get out there and score the penalty.
It was in the extra time. It was like the final minute of the game.
Dying moment.
Mark Noble wasn't playing, but at the same time, he was a really experienced player who had been known for being a great penalty taker, right? He had been
a great penalty record is incredible.
So,
I mean, for West Ham, he has the best penalty record out there. But he stepped up and missed it. That was because of like preparation, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
But it was also the fact that he was completely unprepared mentally. Mm. You know, his mind was on congratulating the players after the game on the draw.
Okay.
You know, and then he gets told, get out there and win us the game with the penalty. Mm. A lot of pressure. Even on a really seasoned and experienced player, that's a lot of pressure. And therefore, I believe that, you know, Lucas Paqueta, we know he's an outstanding player at times. He's been, you know, he's been quoted as being, you know, one of the most technically gifted players at West Ham.
He's a Brazilian international as well.
He is indeed, and he's a regular starter for the national squad.
Yeah.
You know, But we know that his performances of late have been, you know, amateur.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be just him. Like it's a combination of factors. It's like everything is going wrong at West Ham currently, right?
Yeah.
It's Lopetegui. I don't know, but I've been watching your games. As you know, I have a soft spot for West Ham because of the Czech players. So it seems like he's experimenting a bit too much. Like it seems like he doesn't exactly know. Like even the lineup. Yeah, you could have accused David Moyes for always sticking to the same starting 11. He might have been overloading the players. He might have not given enough chance to the players that deserve the chance. Okay, fair enough. But as you said at the beginning, Lopetegui seems to be the polar opposite of that. And for some reason, he doesn't play the same ever the same team, and it looks like more like he's searching for that perfect starting 11, and it's like it feels like everyone is letting him down. That's how it feels like to me.
But it could also be looked upon in this way, that he adapts his starting 11 for the team that we're playing and believes that he gets it right, and then his substitutions are as a result of that player's not performing, I'll replace him, or I need more up front, so I'll bring these two off and bring them two on, or whatever the case may be. That could be the case. However, I don't believe it is. I really don't.
Clive,
I believe that you're right, that he doesn't know his best 11, and even if he did, he probably wouldn't use them every week.
But Clive, doesn't that lead to players losing their confidence? Because I don't know. Like, if I'm looking at it from the point of view of Tomáš Souček, someone, okay, maybe Jared Bowen will always play. Okay, we can assume that. We can assume that Mohamed Kudus will always play. But then there are a lot of players who might play or might not play. And if you're Tomáš Souček or someone like that, if you don't know if you're going to play that game, like, what does it do with your confidence? Tomáš Souček doesn't seem to be faced, but okay, maybe someone else, like Summerville.
The classic example would be actually the other guy.
Which one? Well, he's completely out of team, so like he hasn't.
He only gets in if Wan-Bissaka's injured, or suspended, or on international duty.
But to be honest, guy,
things.
Do you know? I have always been defending the Czech players, like even on some channels, on
Western
channels, because I didn't like the way they were treated. But with Vladimír Coufal, I don't have a leg to stand on because Bissaka has been really good. So for me, that this is a no-brainer that Bissaka plays over Coufal. Yes, I would like Coufal to get a chance. Maybe we could play him in a different position. You could you could shuffle then, the team around. You could play back three.
That's one thing that annoys us about David Moyes. He was playing players out of position.
Yeah.
You know, like Lucas Paqueta out on the left wing, for example.
But doesn't Lopetegui do it even more now?
Because he's been shown the way, you know? But we've got a perfectly good left winger in Crescencio Somerville.
Okay,
yeah. The lad we picked up from Leeds last season, at the end of the season. Championship player of the year, no less. And we got him. Because he wanted to come to West Ham, apparently. Yeah. And he's not perfectly good at the job. He's very forward-thinking, and he can get back and defend if he has to. But he has got Emerson behind him, Emerson Palmieri, who is a seasoned, established Premier League player.
Used to play for Chelsea,
Every European title football can offer, he has. Every single one of them, including the international. The only one he lacks is the World Cup.
Okay, that's true. Because Brazil have been underperforming.
Yeah. All of them. I mean, including players like Wan-Bissaka. I mean, Wan-Bissaka's been doing his best, and he's probably been, one of the better players for West Ham.
I think so.
Any given game. Because he's trying to establish himself in the team and in the club.
Yeah. And I watched most of the games, Clive, and I would say Bissaka, Kilman, these two guys have been the best players.
I think Max Kilman's earned his place, and I think Jean-Claire Tadebo has also
put
his name down and rather hard because he's been very good. Yeah. But have you noticed who we keep turning to, though? We keep turning to Tomáš Souček because he is Mr. Reliable. Because we know that if we need a box-to-box player, pop him on, you know?
You know my opinion on Tomáš Souček. Yeah, I love this guy. Like he's a hero for me.
We all respect him.
And it's not
there are better players in the club, you know?
Are there, though? It depends how you define
allegedly,
a good player.
Yeah. Allegedly. Well,
because the problem is these days, right? People love all the technical skills and the flicks and the flair, and everybody's obsessed with this. It's the age of social media. Everybody wants to see the beauty of everything, including the beauty of sports. But I thought West Ham were about hard work, grit, determination, never give up attitude, and that's why I was so surprised when the West Ham fans, and I've spoken about this with the other West Ham fans, kind of turned against Tomáš Souček, someone who embodies these qualities.
A lot of fans have come to the conclusion in their minds that Tomáš Souček's time at West Ham is done.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they're now finding minor faults and creating larger faults with that, if you understand what I mean. I am not one of those. I'm a firm believer that Tomáš Souček is Mr. Reliable. He, you know, he might as well wear an S on his blinking chest for all I care, because he's like Superman to us. You know, when we need a goal in the dying moments of a game, can always rely on Thomas Souček to be there or to provide it. You know, to either score it or provide.
Yeah. It's the same for the Czech national team. You kind of know what you're getting from him, right? And you know he will give his
own. And I was really surprised that Jared Bowen was given the armband captaincy and not Thomas Souček.
Maybe because
I believe that Thomas Souček had earned it.
I'll tell you what, there is a group of people in the Czech Republic who claim that Souček, I think Souček is a great captain. And I like him not only for his footballing qualities, but for the sort of aura he exudes, some sort of leadership aura. But that's me, yeah. But there are some people in the Czech Republic who think that he's too nice to be a captain. So maybe for this reason, he wasn't selected. You know, because he's very nice, right? He's just this gentleman. He's a gentleman.
He may be very nice, but he's also 99 times out of 100, if a player in the Premier League is wearing a head bandage, it's going to be Thomas Souček. Because he does tend to put his head where it's not needed at times.
Or where
where it's in danger. So for me, he puts himself on the line, you know.
But the counter argument.
The badge on it. You know,
the counter argument is that these days you want to have some sort of, I don't know a better word than asshole. You want someone who is going to use some dark arts and who is going to, you know, maybe provoke someone and who will fight. And Tomáš Souček, he will not fight. He's a diplomat. Yeah.
Maybe
this is the reason, you know.
But
maybe
he's a practical joker also.
He's someone I admire, and I would follow a captain like that. But that's me, because I like this sort of attitude. And when I played football, I didn't like to be shouted at. I didn't like these captains who just shouted at you, and that's how others followed them. Not me. I'm different. I prefer this kind of role model, like Tomáš Souček. Yes. But everyone is different. And I believe
Mark Noble, undeniably one of the greatest captains West Ham have ever had.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the phrase dark arts. Now, to someone like Mark Noble, using the dark arts was things like, classic example, we had Jesse Lingard on loan. And the first day at the changing room, he sat down, he picked up his phone. Mark Noble told him, if I see that phone in your hand again during training sessions, it's going down the toilet.
Souček wouldn't have said that.
No. Thomas would have said to him, "Our club rules, you're not allowed to have your phone there."
Exactly.
Mark Noble, a little bit of the dark arts, I'll put it down the toilet or something of that nature.
Exactly.
Whereas, you know, also, if there was an argument to be had, Mark Noble was quite willing and capable of participating or even leading that argument and winning it most of the time.
And you need that. It's important.
Yeah. But I think, as you said, Thomas Souček is a diplomat.
He's a diplomat, yeah.
One of the most admired England captains of all time was Alan Shearer. And he was a diplomat. He wasn't a fighter. He was a big, tough lad, but you wouldn't catch him fighting.
When we say fighter, this is misleading. Fighter as in he's not going to punch someone in the face. He's not going to retaliate when somebody stamps on him. He's not going to get a red card even, because he knows. He's smart enough and he knows.
I see what you mean. He's very intelligent.
He's not arrogant. He's humble enough to know where his limits are and what he can do. But also, at the same time, he will give his all. He will fight, right? In a sense of on the pitch. He will put in tackles, as you said, put his head into the area duels and all that, sometimes even...
And it'll be the first one in the children's ward at the hospital and the last one to leave, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is leadership quality, without a doubt.
I agree. For me, I would follow that, but I understand why some people say something else. So I don't have a problem with Bowen. He has been great. No problem. Yeah. But I had a problem with Soucek being out of the team. And I'm glad that it seems like West Ham fans have realized now. I'm watching the channels. They're not talking about Soucek the way they talked about him before. So I think they've realized that he's not the problem, because it seemed like he was being the scapegoat.
Yes. Yeah, he was. And like I said, some, you know, fans believe that his time at the club is up, and therefore he's still here. Why is he still here? You know, well, we must find fault in him because he's not supposed to be here. That's the mentality of some people.
They always said this thing that it's because of Moyes loves him, because of Moyes wants him, because of Moyes, because of Moyes. This just isn't right. Now we can see that Lopetegui likes him too, right? He didn't play this game against Nottingham Forest, but he didn't play only because he was sick. He was ill. He put a message on Twitter that he was sick, so that's why you couldn't have him in the team. Yeah, so I have to ask you, Clive, about the other Czech player, Vladimír Coufal. It seems like you are frozen currently. Are you back?
Yeah, no, I was. It froze, but my Wi-Fi has just blinked on and off, so that's probably why.
So when I spoke to the other West Ham fan on this podcast, on the Footgrish podcast, we sort of speculated over Vladimír Coufal's future at West Ham, and it seemed that we agreed that Vladimír Coufal's days are numbered at West Ham, which is a shame, but it looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. And, like, as you've probably seen on a lot of the other channels, you know, the call now among the fans is, let's get another right back to back up Wan-Bissaka. They're kind of dismissing Coufal now. I think that's unfair, because I still think he's got a role to play. He's produced some of the greatest crosses to provide for goals and stuff in the last few years, you know. And, you know, and like Thomas Soucek, he will get stuck in. He will put his head into places it might not, you know, be best to put. What we call them is warriors. They're warriors, like Billy Bonds of old. You know, like Ron Harris at Chelsea, and you know, there's so many of them. Even more recently, Roy Keane at Man United. I know that's not recent, but it's more recent than the ones I mentioned.
He's a pundit now, a very famous pundit.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so. I have to ask you about this upcoming game against Everton, because how many times has this happened? It seemed like it's one of those games that if the manager loses it, he could be out of the club, right? It could be a game that he needs to win.
I think that is kind of the feeling amongst fans and stuff, but I really don't believe that that's what the club are thinking.
Okay.
The club have signed him up for 2 years. And David Sullivan isn't the sort of person to go and waste money and buy him out of his contract, right?
There's a phrase for you. He isn't trigger happy.
There you go. He's not trigger happy.
Yeah.
Look, Lopetegui came in with a minimum fee and decent wages. Okay, we didn't have to buy him out of a contract or anything like that. Same with David Moyes, the same with Pellegrini, the same with David Moyes before that, the same with Slaven Bilic before that, the same with Sam Allardyce before that, the same, well, need I go on, you know. David Sullivan does not like spending money on the coach or the manager. He'll pay him a decent wage and he'll give him bonuses, etc. But he won't buy them out of contracts, and he won't sack them when they still got 18 months of a contract left.
So it seems like it's both a curse and a blessing.
In some respects. So we've got him until at least next summer, minimum, and if not the summer after. But if we get European football by any way by miracle, we get European football in these two seasons. He gets another year.
Can I say something like, Yeah, okay. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned this because not a long time ago, I watched a video on West Ham Network channel, which I believe you are also part of.
I'm one of the guests.
You're one of you have a show there. You have a show, the Old School Hammers.
That's correct.
You're doing that with your with your mate. So Kieran. Wednesday evening. So if anyone wants to watch that, you appear on this show called Old School Hammers, and it's on the West Ham Network YouTube channel. And today I watched a video from them, and the host said an interesting thing. He said that West Ham are 6 points off the relegation zone and 7 points off the Champions League places. So that shows that the league is really, it's quite even this season. Yeah. It's like anything could happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, also shows how early in the league we are.
Yeah.
Look, some people are saying, oh my God, we're a quarter of the way through already and blah, 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 blah. Doom and gloom, woe is, you know, our fate. No, yeah. I look at it like this. Oh, great, we're only a quarter of the way in. We've still got three quarters of the season to pick this up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more the glass half full.
Full
rather glass. Than half empty.
Yeah.
there you go. You know, look, don't get me wrong. I do have a moan about our club and the manager, the coach, sorry, and his tactics, etc. I do moan. Of course I do. I have every right to, you know, especially if I'm buying a ticket to go and watch it at the stadium.
No,
which
do
I
you?
Haven't done this season yet, actually.
Do you have a season ticket?
No.
To go
to
West Ham games? No, you don't.
No. Until they re-employ Gianfranco Zola as the coach, I'm not going to.
Oh, okay. What about David Moyes? Would you take him back now?
No, I wouldn't, actually.
No?
And I was kind of indifferent when he left. I was like, okay. Oh, okay, yeah, they have decided it's time.
Yeah.
It was
a joke. I'm just teasing.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But
it's not going to happen. Yeah.
No, it's not going to happen, but if by any stretch it did happen, I would be highly disappointed with the club.
Hmm.
You know, I really would, because it got a little toxic for David Moyes and the club and the supporters.
That's why I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah, you wouldn't bring toxicity back to the club.
No.
Or the instrument of that toxicity, because that's correct. Really what it was. All of that was aimed at David Moyes and his leadership.
Yeah.
So, you know.
All right, Clive. I think we have come to an end of this wonderful podcast. Thank you very much. It's always great to talk to you because you're so eloquent. And well-spoken, and I enjoy that as an English teacher who has a podcast about learning English and football. You know, this is exactly what
I'm actually quite conscious of it, so I do make a little more of an effort.
Are you saying that if you knew this wasn't about English, you would sound like a proper Cockney from the street?
I'm never a proper Cockney because I was never born in London. Anyway, I was born in Crawley, which is south of London, but you've heard me talk casually, and you know, I mean, I use phrases that you mentioned before when I've been on your channel, you know, when I said it goes tits up for us and things like that. You know, I've tried to be a little more eloquent than that.
What was it again? It goes tits up.
Tits up, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it doesn't go tits up for you against Everton. Fingers crossed. All the best to you, Clive. And this is exactly the kind of phrase that I might explain in the language corner, which will follow this interview. So thank you very much, Clive. All the best to you. And I hope to catch up with you soon on this podcast or another show. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, great. And thanks for the invitation. And
yeah, no worries.
And the chat. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep growing the channel as you are. It's great. And, you know, all of your students, mate, this is the man. This is the man that will teach you. And if he can't teach you, nobody can.
I wouldn't go that far, but, you know.
You've lived in England, man. You know, you know.
Let's say I can do the job. Okay, let's put it that way.
Yeah, but you teach practical English.
I do, yeah.
You teach English to people that they can use in the street, you know, or in a shop or something.
Do you know what? I'm actually quite lucky because these days I teach one football manager from the first Czech league.
Right.
I teach three football journalists and one ex-footballer, a female. Which is interesting. A female.
Fantastic.
Footballer. So I hope to get more people from the football industry because yeah. I think I can do a good job because I'm passionate about football.
And of
we
course,
always, and we'll always have something. And I can teach English through football. I know how to do it.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough of this self-promotion. I think it's been too much.
Fantastic.
So thank
stuff.
You. Thank you, Clive.
No and problem at all.
Have a good one, man.
And you take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the Language Corner. In this part of the show, as always, you're going to learn something. Hopefully, you will. And that's because I'm an English teacher, and of course, my job is to teach English, and you are the learners, right? I know some of you aren't. That's fine. For whatever reason you're watching, you can keep watching. But if you are here to learn something, well, now comes the time for you to learn something. And we're going to have a look at a slightly vulgar phrase. So if you haven't been 18 yet, you should ask your parents before you hear this, because we are going to talk about the phrase to go tits up. First of all, let's explain what tits are. Tits are woman's breasts. It's a vulgar way of saying woman's breasts. It's a slang way of referring to, you know, breasts. And imagine if the tits go up. I think because we have gravity, tits should be going down. I'm not a doctor, but I think so. So that's a bad thing. If things go tits up, it basically means things go wrong. So at the end of the show, I said to Clive, I hope that things don't go tits up in your game against Everton, which means I hope you guys don't lose again. All right. Tough stuff to deal with as a teacher. Well, sometimes you have to teach these as well. And I like challenges like this, but of course we are on a dangerous ground. Anyway, if you guys enjoy this and if you like what I do and if you want me to grow this channel and to grow this podcast, why don't you become my Hero subscriber? That's a way you can really support me. Check out the link in the description of this episode. And that's all for today. Thank you very much for listening. And until next time, bye-bye.